You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
It's true, though, that there's still a lot of confusion about certain aspects of quantum mechanics. For instance, physicists are keen to build quantum computers that should, in theory, outperform their boring classical cousins by performing certain tasks much, much faster. But, Brendan, what weird quantum property gives quantum computers their power?
Oh, I know this one. Entanglement. That's the strange effect in which two or more quantum objects become intertwined in such a way that when you measure one object, all its partners feel the effects instantaneously. Crudely speaking, the idea is that if you could get a bunch of these entangled objects to process in parallel, then in theory your quantum computer can perform calculations much more speedily than a classical computer. The trouble is that entanglement is a fragile property, hard to build and easy to break down in the lab, which makes building a quantum computer tough.
You're right. Quantum computing with entanglement is tricky, which is precisely why some physicists have been getting excited by hints that you may be able to carry out some computations without entanglement. You still need your system to harness a special quantum property that ties together different quantum objects, but these correlations between partners can be much looser than in cases where they are fully entangled. This property called quantum discord was independently discovered about a decade ago by FQXI member Wojciech Zurek at Los Alamos National Laboratory and by Vladko Vedral at the Centre for Quantum Technologies in Singapore and Oxford University. Vedral and colleagues recently published a paper in Nature Physics trying to pin down how discord might help in quantum computing. I spoke with one of the paper's co-authors, Mila Gu, also at the Centre for Quantum Technologies. And, Brendan, I'm going to play you a clip in which he explains that you were a bit too hasty to seize on entanglement as the source of quantum computing's power. Gu describes an experiment carried out by Andrew White's group at the University of Queensland in 2008 that created a lot of buzz about discord by showing that it may be possible to carry out a quantum computation without entanglement.
It all changed sort of in 2008 because people discovered this protocol called DQC1, which is a protocol that I won't get into the technical details, but essentially allows you to compute a particular mathematical problem, summing up an exponential amount of numbers, which classically would require you to sort of take each one of these numbers and sum up, so it takes an exponential amount of work. But it could actually do this in a polynomial amount of work. So in the sense that you could actually sum up all these numbers without directly looking at each number, which is very weird. And when people looked at this algorithm, what people found was that this algorithm had no entanglement, but it had discord in it. And that's what really started people's interest in discord.
Okay, so I get it. There was this DQC1 protocol that a bunch of theoreticians came up with in which you could carry out some fancy quantum computation, adding up certain numbers in a table or a matrix, and experimenters performed that computation. But they also showed that there was no entanglement in their system when the computation was carried out, but there was discord.
That's right, and discord is easier to generate in the lab than entanglement. So that was why some people started to get interested at that point.
I'm not sure that experiment was enough to prove that discord powers the computation, though, was it? I mean, maybe it's just there, coincidentally, at the same time, but not actually doing anything.
You're right. So Gu and colleagues have been trying to investigate what's so special about discord and somehow connect it to the advantage in quantum computation in some way. And that's what they did in their Nature Physics paper.
I'm still not sure I get what discord actually is, though. Did Gu say anything about that?
He did. And it involves socks.
Socks?
Quantum socks.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense.
Now, just hear him out. Imagine you have a sock, which could be blue or could be red. If they were just ordinary classical socks, that's pretty much all you could ask about them, colour-wise. Is it blue or is it red?
Or if you wash them together, are they now purple?
Look, we're not laundering the socks. Forget purple. The point is, now, if they are quantum socks, things get more complicated. because before you look at them, they could exist in a superposition of states. They could be red plus blue.
Aha, red plus blue, purple.
Forget purple. It's a mathematical thing. They could be red plus blue or red minus blue.
Red minus blue, is that even a color?
The point is, because they're quantumy, before you look, they could be in a superposition and they'd only settle on one colour after you look at them. Anyway, just listen to Goo. He can explain how this relates to discord better than me.
Suppose these socks were quantum mechanical objects rather than classical objects. And because each individual sock is a quantum mechanical object, they can either be red, blue, or they can be a superposition of red and blue. In many different ways, like red plus blue or red minus blue. Now, if you were to ask a question classically, so if you were to look at it, then say if the sock was red plus blue and you asked whether it is red or blue, then half the time you'd get red and half the time you'd get blue. But after that, you would never be able to know whether or not it was red plus blue to begin with, because the act of observation disturbs the quantum state. So it collapses into a fixed red or a fixed blue color. So now the way that discord comes into play with this is that if you imagine that you had sort of two socks and they were correlated with each other in the sense that if one was red and the other would be red, and if one was blue and the other would be blue, this is about the most correlations that you could ever get classically. But quantum mechanically, they could also be correlating in the sense that if one was red plus blue, then the other would also be red plus blue. Now, if you asked one of the socks whether it was red or whether it was blue, then yeah, it would tell your answer, and you would be able to automatically infer that the other sock would be either red or blue. But you would never be able to infer whether the other sock started off as red plus blue to begin with, because you've sort of destroyed that correlation when you ask the wrong question. So if you were to look at one of these socks classically, you don't end up using all of the information it contains. However, the way discord comes into play is by asking the right questions, you could still gain any information about the second sock. So you don't lose any of this information. And the advantage in sort of how much information that you conserve this way is measured by this quantity called the discord.
Okay, yes, Gu does tell it better than you. So if you have a quantum system with a pair of objects, like quantum socks, that are kind of linked up in some way, when you look at one, you get some information about the other one. But if you look in a crude classical way, you only get an answer about the state of the objects after you looked at them, and you lose information about what they were like before you looked at them. And discord is some kind of measure of the amount of quantum information that you lost.
Yes.
Did Gu tell you what this has to do with computation?
Well, he explained it by talking about a way that two people can secretly communicate with each other. Imagine you want to leave me a secret message.
This is very James Bond.
Yes, yes, indeed, it's very James Bond. Now, I've left a coin on my desk for precisely this purpose, and I go out, but I remember that I've left it heads up. While I'm out, you come in and either flip it or don't flip it. I come back in, look at the coin, and based on my memory of the state of the coin before, I can tell whether you flipped it, and in turn, whether you want to convey the binary digit 1, corresponding to flipped, or 0, corresponding to not flipped, to me.
So it's a secret and very boring message.
Well, yeah, whatever. The point is, things get more interesting if the coin is a quantum coin. So it could be 0 or 1, or a superposition of 0 plus 1, 0 minus 1. My memory of the coin, in this case, is a quantum memory, like those two quantum socks.
So are you a quantum sock now?
This is getting a bit surreal. My memory is of a quantum coin.
Am I a quantum sock?
I don't think so. I think it's just the coin that is quantum and my memory of the quantum coin. I'll let Gu explain.
So if you were to observe your memory classically, just as in the case of the socks that I gave before, then you could only determine whether or not the person flipped it between 0 and 1 or between 0 plus 1 and 0 minus 1. So you could still only know just one out of the many things that the person did. But if you could measure sort of your memory quantum mechanically, then it turns out that you can gain more information about what the other person did. Because by interacting your memory with the system you're interested in quantum mechanically, you can keep track of more possibilities and therefore find out more about what the other person did. And what we've showed inside our recent work was that the amount of there's some extra information that you can learn, depending on whether sort of you looked at your memory classically and whether you look at your memory quantum mechanically, is exactly equal to the discord between your memory and the system in question.
All right. So they've shown that if you perform a quantum process comparing your memory and the coin's new state, it gives you an advantage over performing the same process classically.
And the amount of that advantage is measured by...
the discord. Hooray. So they've linked discord to some kind of computational advantage for the first time.
Yes. But...
oh, dear.
That's still not quite the same as explaining how the DQC1 protocol worked. You remember that computation back at the start carried out in 2008, adding up those numbers really fast. So that's the group's next task. But so far, it's a step in the right direction. If you want to know more, then visit www.fqxi.org/community, where Mulagu has blogged about the work in more detail and with fewer references to socks.
I wonder if their research will uncover why you always lose one sock in the washing machine.
Maybe they quantum mechanically tunnel into a parallel universe.
A parallel universe populated only by purple socks.
I think it's time to move on.
Yes, indeed.